People keep thought your brother actually repented while explaining ordained events. He was relieved of all anger. Similarly, was also free from anger, and smiling he spoke to Kamsa as follows. Perfect. Devaki and Vasudev, both highly elevated personalities, accepted the truth presented by Kamsa that everything is ordained by providence. According to the prophecy, Kamsa would be killed by the eighth child of Devaki. Therefore, Vasudev and Devaki saw that behind all these incidents was a great plan devised by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because the Lord had already taken birth just like a human child and was in the safe custody of Yashoda, everything was happening according to plan, and there was no need to continue the ill feeling towards Kamsa. Thus, they accepted Kamsa's word. Please forgive me, but I need one more text. This is a very important text for the lecture, though. Think of Krishna and hope that he will be fast. This text will explain what is really the basic principles in Krishna consciousness which we are looking for. It's in the Bhagavatam, in the second canto, and it's just fits for that. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityi Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Astacharye Satarine Jaya Sri Samanutapasya Santarusha Padevaki Yasrijat Vasudevasta Prahasyatam Uvasaha. Translation. When Devaki saw her brother actually repentant while explaining ordained events, she was relieved of all anger. Similarly, Vasudev was also free from anger. Smiling, he spoke to Kamsa as follows. There is one translation which is not yet properly fixed. I think it must be, is there a text translation? Am I correct? No, you don't have to, the translator. Is there a translator from English to text? Prabhu, why do you sit there? You must see well aware that your verse will go into which side of the Orient it is typical in Kali Yuga to concentrate. Therefore, the origin of the principle that the translators are at a place where there is a minimum of discordance for the rest of the devotees and a maximum of volume for the translation. So therefore, please go into a back part of the room. But please, my dear text translator, remember this. It is not necessary that we always, at every lecture, say this. Please understand the principle and then I'll start with you. So, in this verse, there are two subject matters which I would like to expand a little bit upon. One is repentance, and the second is seeing that things are ordained. When Devaki saw that Kansa had a bona fide feeling of feeling sorry, she actually felt sympathy for her brother. If we want to make advancement in Krishna consciousness, and if we want to experience a transformation of our heart, we first of all need to feel repentance. In the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, repentance has been explained to be like a fire. A fire has two functions. It illuminates and it burns. The fire of repentance illuminates us with a vision of reality. That is, that we are insignificant angsas apart of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If we don't feel sorry for what we did in our material life and for the mistakes, we might continue in this, in our endeavors to become Krishna conscious. It's not good. We need this kind of repentance to come to the essential point of Krishna consciousness. We need this illumination and we need to be relieved from the pains of false pride. Srila Jiva Goswami, in his Bhakti Sandharvas, discusses what is the aim of our Krishna conscious practice. And before telling it, I would really like to ask all of you if you have thought about this subject matter and what are the results of your own considerations. What do you consider the goal of your immediate goal in Krishna consciousness? I want to make it a little difficult because we have good thinkers amongst us and they need some incineration. We are not speaking now of going back to Godhead. What is your immediate goal? What are you working on at the moment in your own private Krishna consciousness? Do you have a project? If you don't have a project, do you think you should have a project you work on? Or do you just feel you should just be here? Be here now. Okay, we would like to hear something. I saw a hand. You know,
just to depend on Krishna,
not to make sense. Yes. As I said, the immediate project is to learn to depend on Krishna, and this means to give up a sense of independent controller. She says it's all right to desire something, not that we shouldn't desire, but we should transform the desires which we have into spiritual desires.
Thank you.
satisfaction. To make Krishna's satisfaction my own satisfaction. That's an immediate project. What project? To understand what it means to be a devotee of Krishna. That's an immediate project. To become dependent on Krishna. Mm-hmm. This we had already. Yes, it is all right. It's good that you have this project. So always turn to Krishna and pray for him in life. Yes, that's the project. That's it. Bhadanatha. Yes, he said a little general to become free of all bad qualities. Or can you work with it? You're a very abstract thinker, that means a great philosopher. No, honestly. So here is to become free of all anatta and develop the qualities of a Vaishnava. It's a very good project. To cultivate and improve Vaishnava relationships. Satisfy my guru. Yes, thank you, Mr. To develop faith in the guru and obedience in the guru. Mm-hmm. You just said it, and now you still have not understood the principle. Please go into a corner and just stay there. Yeah, but you're still making noise. It is the principle, if you make noise which goes in this direction, devotees hear it and get distracted. If you sit in order with your back, I'm very sorry, it's just a technical thing. If you sit with your back towards me and speak in this direction to the devotee to whom you are translating, then the audience, then you don't have the sound in the audience. Uh-huh. Yeah. Maybe, I think some of you have understood the principle, so go to our translators and tell them. In clear language, I somehow don't have the clear language. It is my mistake. I'm very sorry. Good. We are here on a very important subject, so let us go back to project in Krishna consciousness. Yes, we come to the close. Mm-hmm. So absorb the mind in hearing and chanting and not the mentality level. Yes. We come to a close, Manjulali, yes?
To become humble and to devote service. To become humble and devote service.
And to become humble and develop a serving mood. So open a temple and find an inch. Niche, where I can practice Krishna consciousness steadily. Yes, very good. Let us come to a close. There are many projects. I wanted to just tell you why it is so important to have a project in Krishna consciousness by giving a little story which many of you know, but many not, so it will come. Once there was a farmer. When the farmer went to, after his work, when he went home, he did not do what all the farmers do, that is just relax, but he took on a little project. He took stones and then cast from the stones elephants. After a while, he was so expert that the king heard of him and visited. When the king saw some of his elephants, he was totally amazed. And he said, I also want an elephant of you. The farmer said, come back in 3 months. Finally, the king who came to him after 3 months, saw the most wonderful elephant. It looked as if it was just about to walk and play the elephant trumpet. It even looked as if the ears would move. And the king became so enlivened that he said, I am prepared to give my whole kingdom just to be able to make an elephant like you. So said the farmer, this is not necessary. But it's actually very simple to make an elephant. You just take a piece of stone, and then you take away everything which is not elephant. Then you have it. So this is an example which is given. It comes from India, obviously. So after we have understood it's good to have a project, this is how you can realize a project. You just pick up what you want to attain in your state in Krishna consciousness now, at this stage in your life, and then you systematically put this into your conscious awareness, and whenever something happens, you just work at it. You just chip everything away which is not identical with your project. You just give that up because you want to attain your elephant, your project in Krishna consciousness. Now, Srila Jiva Goswami, in analyzing the process of bhakti, quotes one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam where he brings out the whole purpose of bhakti. But Ashma Sharanam Hridayam Bhateram Yad Griyamanar Harinama Dhiryaya Navikriyetaha Yadha Vicharo Vichara means transformation Netrejalam Gatraruhesu Harsha. Certainly that heart is still fine which, in spite of one's chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration, does not change when ecstasy takes place, tears fill the eyes, and the hair stands on end. And in the purpose, Prabhupada there's a very important sentence which explains this. The whole process of spiritual culture is aimed at changing the heart of the living being in the matter of his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord, a subordinate servant, which is his eternal constitutional position. So with the progress of devotional service, the reaction of change in the heart is exhibited by gradual detachment from the sense of material enjoyment, by a false sense of lording it over the world, and an increase in the attitude of rendering loving service of the Lord. This is Prabhupada's definition, what is the aim of the spiritual culture. So, this is the whole process of spiritual culture, the aim of our sadhana. We want to change the heart, and we are looking for two particular things. Change the heart might sound a little abstract, but it's very concrete what has to take place. It is that we develop a service attitude, that we first develop some detachment from the material world and the material conception, and second of all, we want to develop a service attitude towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is what we are looking for. When we speak of transformation of the heart, then these two things we would like to come up. If the heart is transformed by Krishna consciousness, it is extremely easy for us to make advancement. But if we keep a heart of stone, there is no advancement. If we don't consciously look for this transformation of the heart, we are not really applying the process and we are not going for the desired result. Each one of us can check this. Do I actually see that I'm becoming detached? And do I actually see that I become enthused by becoming a humble servant of my spiritual master and of Krishna? Do I think of these two things? This is what we are aiming for. Do you feel this help, this understanding? If you want, I really would recommend you to read this text on your own, in your own private reading time. It's in the second canto, chapter 3, text number 24. Three, very easy to remember. 2, and one more is 3, 2, 3, and 24. 2 plus 4 makes 6, 3 plus 3 makes, anyway. Sorry. 2, 3, 24. Please somehow write it in your brain. It's very good, this text. So good. That's so many things. Now, if you do want to engage, to change the heart, you have to know the process, how to make a stone heart into a golden heart. The process is, of course, chanting. Chanting the names of the Lord has to be done, however, in a specific way. If we just chant, we might wait for a long, long time, but if we chant in the proper way, then the Holy Name will reveal Himself in its full glory. I want to speak a little bit about the glory of the Holy Name by telling you a little Krishna Leela, which for some of us might be new. Once Narada Muni came to Varaka, and on the request of Lord Krishna's king, performed a yajna for the well-being of all. At the end, the queens were so satisfied with Narada Muni's priestly activities that they asked him, "What do you want?" And "You can get anything from us. We are just so happy with you." And Narada Muni said, "Anything? Can I really ask for anything?" "Yes, everything. Even if you want the whole palace, no problem." You know, Narayis are so good-hearted and so nature, so when they are really pleased, this was the mood of the queen. They were really prepared to give everything. So Narada Muni said, "I want Krishna." Now, this was not a very easy answer. You might now think, well, what is the problem? Krishna can explain himself. Like he does in Dvaraka, you know, in Dvaraka.
In the north,
his standing is there in a Vaibhava Prakash, in an identical expansion, in the in each one of these 16,108 palaces. And he is doing all kinds of activities. In one place, palace, he is listening to the loving words of his dear wife and the sons. In another palace, he is engaged in a marriage of one of his sons. In another palace, he is listening to the advices of the Brahmana. In yet another palace, he is riding on swift Indian horses. The Lord is there, so you might ask, well, this is not a difficult request. The Lord can just extend himself into one more form, no problem, if you are already thinking. But no, Krishna, Narada Muni specifically wanted the original Krishna. It's just, see, when the Lord in the morning leaves his 16,108 palaces, he goes to the Sudama assembly house. The Lord form all comes out of these palaces, and then they become one, and this one form goes in the Sudama assembly hall. There are no other Lord any longer, just the one Lord. And then the one Lord, he's always one, but then that Lord, it's difficult to say, you know, who gets this? When Krishna leaves the assembly house, then at one stage, he's 16,108 forms. And is again doing his different leelas in his in relationship to his many different devotees in these palaces. So Narada Muni wanted that one Krishna. And the queens had done their sankalpa, and they had to get him. After some time, the queen felt so much separation and they came to Narada Muni and said, Narada, please give us Krishna this. You are too intelligent. This is not fair. Narada Muni said, all right, but you have to... I don't know the Deutsche word, the German word, you must Krishna aufbieten. You have to find an equal weight to Krishna. You must weigh Krishna. So they put the scale there, and put Krishna on one side of the scale, and then the queens came and brought all the jewels and rich bells, and heaped it on the other side of the scale, and they made it very large for platform. But Krishna was just sitting there, smiling, and he was not moving. So the queens became desperate. They took, but it wouldn't work. Finally, Rukmini, who is very intelligent, took a tulsi leaf and wrote on the tulsi leaf Krishna's holy name, Krishna. The Jews were moved, everyone asked. Rukmini, with a loving prayer, put the holy name on one end of the scale, and immediately Krishna smilingly came up, and it was a problem. That is, Krishna is not different from his holy name. However, if our hearts are still covered with the 10 offenses, we will not realize it. Certainly the heart is still framed, which, in spite of one's chanting the holy name of the Lord, this concentration does not change when ecstasy takes place, tears fill the eyes, and the hair stand on end. In other words, these results do not come. Our heart is not transformed if we do not become more careful about avoiding the 10 offenses. Krishna consciousness is very, very simple. It's a heart operation. For the stony heart becomes the golden heart of the Bhakta. Let us look for this transformation in our life. Let us desire this transformation at least, and then in no time your own project will emerge from the stone. The elephant, your own elephant, which you have stated a few of your purposes, projects, which are all very Krishna conscious, you will obtain them. They will come emerge from the stone of the untransformed heart by applying the process of chanting the holy name free from offenses. At that time you will develop a higher taste, and detachment will be very easy to be followed, and you will feel a very great satisfaction in performing your devotional service for Ruchi, which will drag you to the kingdom of God. Hare Krishna. So this was all. I won't talk much more, but it took a little longer than I expected. Do you have any questions for this? Thank you, ma'am. Yes. You can also give this elephant analogy. It's a very good thing to preach, even for people who are not yet so much into Krishna consciousness. It's a good for starting. I preached this a few times in the Serbian TV, and it's very good. You know, the interviews go, oh, yes. This is, everyone can identify with it. Yes. Yes. My question is, I'm repeating for the sake. When you are not so expert to recognize what is the elephant and what is the stone, how to progress? In other words, how to see what is essential for our Krishna consciousness and what is not. It takes great sincerity. Srila Prabhupada speaks about this subject in the Madhya Lila of Caitanya Charitamrita. He gives another analogy there. He says, together with the seed of bhakti, different weeds are also cultivable. Lava, puja, and pratishtha, yes. These are three things: recognition, fame, and prestige. These three things are coming along. As you advance in Krishna consciousness, you get a position as leader of this department or leader of that department. And if one is not so careful, this false ego might come up in a disguise and try to get us there. So Prabhupada said, there are other weeds also, like for instance diplomacy, manipulating others, like jivahinsa, enviousness on others, kudinati, that is fault finding. There are all these weeds coming up together with your Krishna consciousness, and it takes great sincerity to really recognize what is the plant and what is the weed. But a sincere devotee can do it. An insincere devotee might put himself into an illusion so that he doesn't see what is what. That he mistakes one for the other. But if you are really sincere, you want to make Krishna consciousness a conscious advancement, you will see it easily. Not easily, but you will see it. If it's too difficult to see where you are wrong, this is a very nice project which the devotees in England now do. It's very good to speak amongst friends. They do this now. Let us say a brahmachari feels not sure about his ashram and thinks of changing it. So previously, what they did is he came to the temple president, and then along the temple president, who might not even know the brahmachari so well, was having to say something. Oh, I think you should wait, or I think you should, yes, you should make some inquiries and so on. So that was previously done, and many, many mistakes were done. So now, what they do is, in England, they sit together, the brahmachari invites three of his very confidential friends, I mean good friends in Krishna consciousness, and together they all discuss about this subject and other subjects. You might, for instance, feel something in your life that you're not actually so satisfied, and something is not right. I think we all know this feeling. So it's very good if you call together some devotees who are your friends. This is important, where you can say, and you say, I'm feeling like this. Can you maybe help me? And then the devotees give their comments, and together they work on it, and they come to a very nice conclusion. It really helps, because it is sometimes difficult to see exactly where we are making mistakes. It's not always so easy to distinguish the two plants. We are not experts in spiritual botany. So this is a very good process to do. And then you do this, for instance, say, I would like to criticize you. You say, Satyananda Swami, criticize me. So what I would have to do is not just say, Basta Basala, you be a glasses. This is, something like this. I would have to say, Basta Basala, I appreciate very much in your nature, your sincerity. You go on Sankatan so much, and you are just dedicated to Sri Vishnupad's service, and you are here at the farm, the Sankata. I would first talk about the things I appreciate. Then I would say, if I may offer an improvement, something, then the contestant, I would see this example, I don't see, not in this circle. This is done in privacy. This is done amongst friends after one has revealed his desires, one has revealed the one. It's a process which has to take place. And the devotees who are in this process, they run together they are in this process working on it and trying to find somebody. It's wonderful. But you have to find the right devotee who you have faith in and who wants to also help in this process. It's very nice. This is called revealing one's heart. It has to do with this, as Adati Kravikrinam. It helps to come to absolutely. Yes. See? By that? Yeah. Lord Krishna leaves his planet. This planet, he explains himself in three forms. I've heard something about this. I want to say very honestly, it's a very, very difficult subject matter, and I do not feel confident to talk on this subject matter, because it's so difficult and I have not even realized it myself. I cannot talk. It would be easy for me to say no, this is my honest. Difficult topic matter. You have to ask someone who's more advanced than you can. Three forms. Yeah. No, let us not make this subject. He heard that the Lord, before leaving, extended himself in three forms. And it's a difficult topic. Yes. Our devotee from the Bhaktivedanta Ashram is asking, is it alright to read these new books when it comes to more detailed description, or should we just stick to Prabhupada's book? Because Prabhupada told us that everything is in his book. We have talked about this in our national council in Germany, and we have come to the understanding that it's best for a young devotee to first read Srila Prabhupada's book. The reason is like this. In Harinam Chintamani, I'm not quoting from a non-Prabhupada book, this is very bad, you know. But once leaving started today and she turns all the way over. Prabhupada is a founder acharya. Founder acharya means he gives the process and the understanding. He gives the sambandha, the specific form of sambandha, and also the abhideya, the practice. And of course also the prayojana. He explains it for us. First, we must really know these books. Then only we will be able to put the different information into the different places where they belong. There's something called selective perception. I want to tell you what it is. Say I have an appointment with a person I want to preach to. No, this is not a good example. Let us take an example from the material world, which is a very, so that we can look at it in a detached way. Two friends have an appointment in one cafeteria, yes? At 5 o'clock. The one friend comes to the cafeteria and he looks. It's a beautiful cafeteria. There's nice mirrors, good traditional Indian paintings, a vegetarian cafeteria. Many interesting people are there. But he doesn't perceive all of this. All he sees from the cafeteria is, my friend is not here. It's 5 o'clock. That's all he sees, because he's totally fixed on meeting his friend at 5 o'clock. They maybe want to plan their next journey to a Hare Krishna temple. You know, this is very human. It's called selective perception. His mind selects from all the data or information just this one thing, because he fixed on it. It's very human. There's nothing, it's not Nothing bad or nothing good, it's just the way it is. We function as human beings. So this is taking place all the time. If I would ask you, what have you remembered from the class? Someone would say, nothing. I'm tired. Another would say, okay, that's the situation, so nothing is wrong. Another is would say, well, your funny example with the elephant, I remember, but I didn't really understand. Oh yes, there was something with a project, my own project, yes. Elephant, own project, I remember. Another one would say, well, I just remember the story that Rukmini once told to me. I like Krishna's story. So why is it that everyone hears what they hear? It is because it's called selective hearing or selective perception. We have a certain interest, and in our lives we have certain concerns. You know, therefore we hear. So in order to hear properly and understand the Vedic conclusion, we need to first get a strata in our and we don't want to talk so make it very clear. We want to have a basic understanding first of what is the Sambandha, what is the Abhideya, and what is the Prayojana of Krishna consciousness. You understand these words, right? Sambandha means your position in this world. You are the soul, you are surrounded by the material energy. And then you want to obtain a relationship to Krishna, which you do, and then comes the process. How will you attain the relationship? That's called Abhideya, the ninefold practices of devotional services, and so on. And then there's the Prayojana, that's the goal. What do you want to attain? Krishna Prema, love of Krishna. This is our Prayojana. So we have to learn these things, which are established in Prabhupada's book. And then, therefore, we advise devotees to read and read and read, to read Prabhupada's book just 3 times, everything through. 3 times or was it 5 times? 3 times.
3 times.
So, some have heard 5 times, others have heard 3 times. Rohini Siddha Prabhu says 5 times, others say 3 times. Isn't it? Brahma read 3 times the Vedic literature. Yes. Anyway, it's not. So you 5 times. you know, 3 or 5 times. I don't know now. Minimum 3 times. Now, all our faces go long. Because the human being doesn't react always positively. Prabhupada wanted his disciples to write books. He said this at different occasions. But you should do the following. If you want to read another book, you have to ask your spiritual master, is this good? Does it fit to my level of advancement? Is this helpful? Please let us not let us understand why we are reading. We want to remember Krishna. We want to come into this Smaranam, remember Krishna and not forget him. So our spiritual master knows where we are at, and he can talk with us, and he can say, read this book, it is very good. Read this book on Brahmacharya by Bhakti Vikas Maharaj. It is very detailed, it will help you very much at this stage in your life. You will say that to I have heard my godbrothers recommend Japa Reform to the disciple. This is a book written by Absolute Maharaj, an elder, older book. I have seen also the Guru Maharaj giving the book Obstacles in Devotional Service to someone. It's a very good book, that's detailed. Absolute Maharaj quotes only Prabhupada, it's not Obstacles. It's a very interesting book, really. But ask your spiritual master. And he will be glad. Oh, wonderful. He's asking me a spiritual question about spiritual advancement. But Prabhupada's books are most important. It is very important that we understand it. He will not be able to make an inch of advancement if he does not understand what Srila Prabhupada has given to us. Because this is our guidance, this is our train back home to Godhead. It's the train into the Kali Yuga. something, and you should know it. Know that it's a possibility. What is in the train of Srila Prabhupada's book is Nuva, Nuva, Nuva. Sometimes devotees feel, oh, Prabhupada's book, I want to also read in a literary person and this and that. It's a nice point to understand. Our most advanced devotees, they read in Prabhupada's books and they are pretty satisfied in this reading. They see a wealth of information. There is something very, very special about Srila Prabhupada's way of writing. No other spiritual author who has come and has been able to ignite the fire of devotion service like Prabhupada has done. See, there are so many Bhagavad Gita's, but when Srila Prabhupada's Gita came, all of you came, there must be something special about this book. The speciality is Prabhupada knows he's empowered by the Lord to present the spiritual knowledge in such a way that there is a practical conclusion of devotional service. This is very unique. It cannot be heard from other literature. Now, I'm not saying some empty praise. We are discussing something critically here, or with our interest. This is really, you really have to be aware of this. This is why Prabhupada puts himself virtually. If we come so closely to an end, Anamati? Yes. Mostly we don't believe that Krishna hears us when we pray to him. You think, well, Krishna doesn't hear me. I'm the little Purnamasi in the big kitchen, lost behind the pot. Like this. Something like this. There is an interesting story. Once there was a little ant. Manas. And it was on the leaf of a tree. And the leaf fell down into the river. And it drowned. The leaf began to drown. So the ant began to pray. My dear Lord, save me. At this moment, not that at this moment Krishna appeared in his forearm form, but something happened. And a seagull came moving and flew over the river and thought, oh, there is this little leaf. This is a very tasty preparation. He was illusion, the seagull. And he went down, he took the leaf and brought it to the bank of the river and then realized, oh, it's nothing to eat for me. I don't eat meat. Don't like them. And then flew away. So the ant just happily marched off the leaf and started for life. So when we pray to the Lord, this full concentration, this is the quality we have to develop in praying. When the Lord hears us, samadhi is described. Gajendra, in a hopeless situation, prayed to the Lord. He didn't even know Purnamasi, who the Lord was. He was an elephant, little spout, you know. So even then the Lord heard him, because he was so concentrated and took a lotus flower out. He really had it. Help me. He was not specific. He was not directed to a specific form of the Lord. Help me, God. And then the Lord appears. He personally appears, but mostly Krishna will make an arrangement. You have to see how Krishna makes an arrangement and solves the situation in this way. This we have to learn. Sometimes we lose our faith because we have a wrong expectation. We think Krishna, when we pray to Krishna, then this should happen, and if it doesn't happen, we lose our faith. But if you really pray with concentration, just watch, something will happen. She wished about 3,400 years of future. Let's say this is the last one that she gave us. The baby is there on the altar. He's waiting for you to pray. Do you remember? He hears you for a but he might arrange things differently than you think, perhaps. He might send a seagull. And the seagull puts the cinnamon, or the toast comes in the kitchen and puts the sauce in for the preparation. And you didn't know where the sauce was, you might. Then don't chase away the seagull, but think, oh, Krishna, send the seagull. Okay, so I'm very sorry. I know that some of you have raised their hands and I have gone with my eyes over them. It's just we are a little late. It's 9:15 and many of us have to leave. Once again, thank you for your kind participation in the festival. Please always come in great numbers after having convinced your temple president. And you will, that means, do such nice service that it's very easy and very obvious that you can. It's very easy to arrange that you. And hope to see you all in not too far of the distance. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Niti Gaura Nikai ki jai, Gaura Premanandi. Ah!